Would you introduce yourself, please?
Yes. Hello. Am I supposed to hold this? Or?
I'll do the hard work.
Okay. I'm Taishi.
Let's see. Buenos Aires. I said that right. Amazing. Columbia, Vancouver, New York City. I heard somewhere there was some Montreal in there, which my mom was born in Montreal.
I've been, I guess you could say I'm quite, I kind of have a very kind of independent way of being because I kind of left home, like stopped living with my parents when I was 16. So I guess that's something I think that in the long run, I think that has had a big effect on me and on my life. Just, you know, having had to really develop, you know, kind of being an independent, you know, somewhat independent and self-sufficient in some ways, and kind of really carving my own path in a way. And I guess that's something that, you know, I don't really talk about too much.
We all have things that happen that make us make kind of big decisions, and leaving home at 16,
yeah,
leaving the shelter and the comfort to be out there by yourself, what was the pivotal thing?
Well, it wasn't so much a choice of me. It wasn't really a situation where I was like, I'm leaving home, you know. It was, I had been living with my parents in Colombia. We'd moved back when I was 15, and then when I was 16, I really wanted to move back to Vancouver. I wanted to finish high school there, and I kind of, you know, wanted to, I didn't want to stay in Colombia for too long. And my parents, you know, they wanted me, in a way, there was a lot of, like, originally we had left Colombia because at the time when I was 8, it was just a really bad place to live, and it was very dangerous. It was, like, you know, at its worst, and so we'd left. And then we moved back when I was 15, and there was a point where I think my parents almost didn't want me to live there because they were always very concerned, and there was always a feeling of kind of, you know, anxiety. And so when I kind of, you know, expressed the fact that I wanted to finish high school in Vancouver and where I lived for most of my life, my parents were very much kind of supportive of that. But it was a hard decision, and it was something that, it wasn't completely leaving the nest, as in like disconnecting from my parents, but I moved back and I finished my last 2 years of high school living, you know, on my own, and just kind of not having that everyday, you know, comfort of your family and your parents and all that. So yeah, it was less of like a very strong personal decision and more something that just kind of made sense at the time. Yeah, I felt that I belonged a little bit more in the environment that I've been living in for longer, and I wanted to finish my high school education and pursue my education in Canada. So
I know a little bit about Berkeley. Mm-hmm. Tell me a little bit about what Berkeley did for and to you, yeah, that has brought you to where you are today, because so many interesting people, especially now, have come out of Berkeley, yeah, with the polar opposite of what you would expect them to come out, mm-hmm, there with.
Yeah. It's interesting because I think for me, my experience at Berkeley was, I kind of went into Berkeley being in a very like academic mindset. I was very, you know, academically driven in school, and I went to university at McGill in Montreal for a year, and then I transferred there to school in Boston. So yeah. I really appreciated like that the educational element of learning, you know, the theory of music and all these things that I had no knowledge of going into it. But my experience was more kind of focused on that and less so on actually actively like being an artist and a musician while I was there, because for me, I think it took me a long time to kind of come out of my shell and really develop like what I wanted to express as an artist. And I think that it's a tough environment at a place like Berkeley to do that, because like you said, there is a very, very set way of, you know, it's difficult to teach something like music. And so in order for a school to be able to really teach something effectively like music, they have to develop a very specific way of looking at it. And through that, I think the creativity sometimes gets a bit stunted. And it's a very competitive school. You know, people are very much trying to do the same kind of thing. And I always felt a little
bit... It's like watching Whiplash.
Yeah, like, there's incredibly talented people there, but I think, you know, there is a very specific way of doing things, and I never really felt very comfortable in that kind of space, and I never felt that I was really, like, fit in to the kind of approach that a lot of people had at school, and, you know, I didn't have the confidence to be, like, promoting myself and my music. It was something that was very private, and I was just doing on my own, and so I think that Berklee really formed me in the sense that it kind of almost taught me what I didn't want to do, just by observing and by kind of taking things in, but kind of staying on the outside of them and really just working on my own thing. But I do think that it has really opened doors for me in terms of, like, you know, everybody that I kind of surrounded myself with when I first started putting music out and pursuing this, and that it's kind of been very supportive, and, you know, in my band, my manager and everything, they're all people that I know through Berklee. So that's something that really, I think, you know, I wouldn't have had I not been in a place like Berklee. But I would say it really shaped me in the sense of, like, really being able to figure out what I didn't want and therefore, like, carve out what I did want, if that makes any sense.
Totally. Did you put something up on SoundCloud, or where did the blog first discover you?
So I made my first EP, and it was really, like, it was more of an exercise of, like, a personal thing. I wanted to record that EP and do it kind of as a personal project, and then figure out what I wanted to do with it. And then after I'd finished it, Nick, who manages me, he's a friend at the time. He kind of, you know, offered to help me. He said, you know, if you want to put something out, like, I'll help you try and, like, you know, reach out to some blogs or whatever.
Right.
So I decided I wanted to put out one of the songs, see how it went. And somehow, I think what happened was he showed it to a friend of his, who then sent it to Chris, who runs the blog Gorilla vs. Bear. And he happened to really like it, and just, he posted it. So he kind of, you know, premiered this song. And I didn't really understand it. I just kind of, you know, I was very excited about it.
And it's really fascinating that if you came up in any other world, right, and you put out that EP, it wouldn't have instantly been available to so many people like that. And that's not a, you know, any sort of judgment. It's just like, wow, what a interesting world it is right now, right?
It's very interesting. It's like a completely new way of sharing and consuming, you know, any kind of art form, really. I think for me it's a very kind of advantageous environment right now in music, because I think for a lot of musicians who kind of struggle a little bit with really putting themselves out there and kind of being, like, self-promotional and stuff like that, you know, you don't have to try too hard to really get your music out there, at least accessible to a lot of people.
Yeah, and accessible is one thing.
Right.
And then taking the next step.
Yeah.
And having it really turn into a career.
Yeah.
Now that's the huge step.
That's where the decision happens. And I think for me, like, the beginning of it was kind of circumstantial and almost, like, you know, there was kind of luck and all. It was very, like, unexpected. And then there was a point where I made the choice that I wanted to do this. And, you know, having had that positive feedback and positive experience after putting a couple of songs out, it really motivated me. And there was a point at which, you know, it became like, I'm doing this, I'm working towards this, I'm, you know, 100% in it. Yeah, but there's definitely like, you know, a separation between those two.
Now you have to be responsible and actually feed the machine, so to speak.
Now I actually have to think about what I'm doing a little bit more.
So it's a really very nifty way that you think about stuff, at least in my opinion, because you're not being selfish and you're saying, look, I'm putting out, and this quote's been there a million times, But I want to frame it a little differently, which is that you're putting out use that word accessible, that you're very aware that you're putting out, quote, accessible music. And the quote is that you're putting out things that you thought people would like to hear.
That concept of creating something with the idea in mind, with some sort of motive in mind of, you know, what you think your audience would like to hear, is something that kind of, you know, kind of naturally happens once you start putting something out and you experience that element of external, you know, that outside thing that happens when you put something out. So for me, the first EP was something that I worked on throughout 2 or 3 years where I was in complete isolation in terms of working on the music, and I wasn't showing it to anyone. It was very much a personal kind of, like, you know, introspective thing. And then I think, you know, when I, that quote, I guess, was to, you know, to kind of express that experience I had of putting that out, starting to play live, starting to see, you know, what it was like to have people actually listening to my music, and then kind of having that come into play when I approached making new music. When I approached making the new EP, it was less of a self-centered kind of approach and more of, you know, I had in mind, like, how do I want people to feel when they hear this? Rather than how do I want to feel more so, you know, everything very much comes from, like, a place of complete, it's very, you know, it's natural. It's what comes out of me, but there's an element of, you know, wanting to make people feel something specific and kind of, you know, wanting to create a song that's going to translate well in a live environment. And it's going to make people move and really kind of, like, you start taking that external point of view into sure. your process. And so that was kind of, I think, the biggest difference between how I approached my first EP and my second one. But that's absolutely, you know, not to say that there's some kind of calculated way of creating music, because if that were the case, I think I would be making very different music that would probably be a lot more accessible to a lot more people.
I'm going to say it so you don't have to say it about the influence of the 80s and 90s. We're not going to talk about that because that's not. But in terms of when you work with Luca, how finished do you bring in what you bring in? And then what is his role?
Right. Well, it kind of, at this point, you know, it kind of depends song to song. With the first EP, I had all of those songs written and, you know, it was kind of like, let's see, with that first EP, all of those songs were essentially, I had the song written and recorded in an a cappella arrangement. For a couple of them, I had the instrumental arrangement kind of built with, like, placeholder instrumentals, sure. You know. I was still using GarageBand. I was still learning what the hell I was doing. And so, you know, I had all these songs and more and kind of brought them in, whittled it down to those 6 songs that I really wanted to work on. And, you know, with him, it's kind of him stepping in, seeing what the song is and really helping me get it to its best potential. So we re-record the vocals. We start adding instrumentation, you know, sometimes replacing what's already there with, like, a better sound, sometimes starting off of an a cappella. But as of that point, it's all completely, you know, like, there's never a point at which he's working on my music and I'm not there and it's like a hand it off. Like, it's, you know, it's always both of us kind of working from that point on together. On the new EP, it was essentially that same process. There, you know, now I've kind of been a little bit more open to, like, writing off of instrumental ideas that, you know, that sometimes people will send me. So a couple of the songs on the EP kind of started off with a short instrumental loop. And I, you know, wrote on top of that, recorded the vocals, recorded the rest of the song, and then it was just kind of, like, fine-tuned. So, you know, it's very much, and the production is collaborative as well. It's not as if, you know, I sing or I kind of write some melody and then he takes it into his hands and finishes it. You know, we both produce it. He's definitely has a lot more experience, you know, producing and, you know, in the technical side of things, which I'm still really becoming more comfortable with. But yeah, it's absolutely, you know, something that the songs always start and end in the sense of like the idea, the seed, the skeleton of the song with me. And then from there, you know, we start building together.
So I've invented a thing called a musical sandwich. And what it is two of your songs as the bread on the outside, mm-hmm. and then songs by anybody you want to play in between.